Peter Fretheim was whisked back to the U.S. to speak at a missions conference near here and made time to be here with us this morning. So Peter's going to give us an update on things going on in Nigeria and in the ministry. We'll pray for you after you tell us good things, because if they're not good things, forget it, buddy. We're not praying for you.
Wow, that means I need the prayers all the more, though.
Good morning. That's a good welcome, a very good welcome. So I am here for a couple of weeks speaking. I was asked to be one of the speakers at the Walnut Hill Missions Conference and some other churches. And, of course, there's no way that I'm coming to Connecticut and not coming here. So my family sends greetings. Most of you know us, but I'm Peter, my wife Miriam on the right, and then our four kids. We're your missionaries in Nigeria, West Africa. So this was taken a couple of years ago. The kids have been growing, and so have I. But, you know, you're not supposed to grow once you get past a certain age. So the thing is, in Nigeria, it's all carbs. Everything's carbs, which isn't good for me. So I'm back this week. I plan on eating a lot of protein and losing a lot of weight this week, like 20 pounds or so. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if you could just eat protein and lose 20 pounds in a week? That's not true, folks. I won't be doing that. Anyway, it's so great to be here. And I came in right before the blizzard. You know, it's supposed to be spring. I forgot what it was like in March. I came in, I spoke, there was snow everywhere, it was crazy. Then they said spring was here. I'm really not sure that's true. But anyway, it's so amazing to be here, and I want to send greetings from my family and love from my family. And the next slide says thank you. And it's really amazing. I come here every couple of years, and it's actually very emotional for me to be here. I mean, it's just amazing how this wells up in me. It happens every time. This is the church that shared the gospel with me through Greenwich Young Life. And this is the church that discipled me. It was the first church, believing church, that I ever came into. It was a large gift from this church that put us over the mark where we could go to Nigeria over 18 years ago. I mean, that's amazing. Some that have been with us this long, you know, imagine that that's been over 18 years. And then more recently, one of our daughters is at Dallas Baptist University. One's at Baylor, and she's graduating, which is just kind of crazy. This year she's graduating. And then one's at Dallas Baptist, and it's this church that did this matching scholarship with Dallas Baptist to help us with some scholarships for her. And so it's just thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to say this quickly. You know, there are other Peters out there. There's others around you here, and you think, you know, that person doesn't really want the gospel. That person's not going to respond. And people didn't think that I wanted the gospel. And actually, some people were kind of afraid to share the gospel with me. And I didn't respond at first. But praise the Lord that someone did share the gospel with me. And there's people all around you. There's other Peters around you, and they just need something like inviting them to church at Easter, right? You know, take little steps of faith. Invite some people to church at Easter that they might hear the gospel. And they may say no, but they may say yes. And then when that gospel goes forth, it's powerful. And you don't know who will respond and who won't. Start praying for your neighbors. Start praying for your coworkers. And then tell them at some point that you're praying for them. And they may say, they may be probably be polite, but they might not be. But I can tell you this, when God brings them low in order to bring them high in Him, they're going to think of you. And He's going to bring you to their mind. And these are the little steps of faith, and then God blesses that. So I just want to say thank you so much for all that you do. I want to tell you a couple of quick stories about some things that are going on in Nigeria. If some of you get my email updates, you'll know a little bit about this first story. If you want email updates, you can tell Pastor Bill and we'll put you on the list. But things that this church has invested in over in Nigeria, I want to tell you a couple quick stories. This is a tree. It's an old spooky tree that this village in the north, mixed with tribal animists and Muslims, were worshiping for generations. And in that area, we came and we wanted to bring the gospel. and we tried to get to know them a little bit, and we tried to talk about Jesus, and they were not interested. You know, they had their spooky tree, and they had their different traditions, and they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And next slide is going to show some of our outreach guys as they went in to this village area. They talked to the chief and others. They didn't want to know about Jesus. And then all of a sudden they saw, next one, they saw their drinking source. So this was the water, this murky, dirty water was the water that they were drinking. And actually they had some different illnesses and things because of the bad water. And so we said, what if we were to dig you a water well and get you some clean water? And they said, yes, we really, really want that. And that's what we do up in northern Nigeria. We will dig, and we get these guys that are very, very good at digging wells, and they'll dig very, very deep, and then we'll put these cement rings, we'll form using cement these rings, and then we'll put the rings in so these wells don't cave in upon themselves. And so all of a sudden they had clean water. Next slide. Yeah, and so all of a sudden they were happier and they were more open to the gospel. So fresh, clean water opens hearts to the living water of Jesus. And then all of a sudden they started coming to know the Lord, and they wanted us to do outreach. And in that village, more than 50 people now have come to know Jesus, including the chief. And so it's awesome. Praise the Lord. And so as we were talking to the chief, and we're working with an indigenous missionary nearby to do outreach, and as we were talking to them, we were saying to the chief, you know, chief, you've had this tree there for generations and you've been worshiping it, but you know Jesus now, and do you still need that tree? And he said, you know what? I have Jesus, and since Jesus is the maker of all the trees, I don't think we need it anymore. And so they cut that tree down. And I can tell you, after generations of worshiping that, to cut that down shows the power of Jesus. And we can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do in that place. I'm going to tell you one other story of ways that you've invested over in Africa. Literally, there are so many stories, but I'm going to pick one to tell you. And what we'll do is we'll stay on the first slide the whole way through the story. And did have the kids left? I'm wondering about the second slide. It looks like the kids have gone. Okay, so let's stay on this slide all the way until I mention it. This is Musa. And Musa, in the northern part of Nigeria, they speak Hausa. And Musa is the name for Moses. And so we were doing outreach a few years ago up in the northern part of Nigeria. And there was no single Christian in that village, doing some sports outreach to try and get to know them a little bit, showing evangelistic film. And this man, Musa, came to faith. And he was the assistant to the chief of the village. And so the chief said, hey, Musa, you can't be a Christian. You need to deny Christ and come back to Islam. And Musa said, I can't do that. He said, well, then you're going to lose your job. And Musa said, I don't want to lose my job, but I'm not going to deny Christ. So he lost his job. And then he said, hey, Musa, you can't be a Christian. You need to deny Christ and come back to Islam. And if you don't, we're going to take your wife and we're going to marry her to someone else. And we're going to give your little son to that guy as well. And Musa said, don't do that. And he said, you need to deny Christ and come back to Islam, or we're going to do that. And he said, well, I'm not going to deny Christ. And so they took his wife and they married her to another guy in the village. He already had two wives. She became the third wife. And his little son, David, was now given to this man. And Musa was heartbroken, and it was very, very hard for him. And he was being discipled by a Christian pastor some villages away. And so that pastor found a Christian wife for him. And so Musa got remarried, and he missed David terribly. One day he went to go see David, and he went in, and little David, 6 years old, came and ran up and jumped into his arms and said, I love you, Daddy. And as he was hugging him there, he just thought, you know what, I'm just going to take little David. And so he turned around and he left with little David. And actually, the chief and the others never said anything. And so he was able to have little David back. And then about a year ago, the chief came and said, hey, Musa, there's these guys that are talking about killing you, and you need to deny Christ and come back to Islam. And he said, even if it costs me my life, I'm not going to deny Christ. And so about a year ago in the middle of the night, 12 midnight, these guys came. They kicked in his door. Two guys came into his little house. Later on, he found out two guys were outside, and they came in and they said, "Musa, today is your last day on earth." And Musa got up out of the bed away from his wife to protect her, and he said, "Help us, Jesus. Protect us, Jesus." And one guy pulled out a gun, and they shot Musa in the stomach. And Musa says he felt like a scrape on his stomach. And then the one guy said to the other guy, "What's wrong with your gun? Shoot him again." And so they shot him in the stomach, and he felt a scrape. And Musa said he felt his back because he was expecting that his guts would be coming out, but he had no wound. So the guy said, "Bring me the machete." And so he took the machete, and he came to hit Musa in the head to kill him. And Musa put up his arm, and he cut off Musa's arm right here. And then he went to hit him again, and Musa put up this hand, and he cut off his thumb right here. And then he hit Musa in the head. And then right then, his little son David, 6 years old, little David runs over. He hugs his father and says, "Don't kill my daddy." And the guy with the gun, he hits little David in the head. Little David falls on the ground. And little David was bleeding, but I need to tell you, little David was okay. And right in that moment, the way that Musa describes it is, the super strength of Jesus came upon him. And he took his stump now, this part that had been cut off, and he punched the guy in the chest. And the guy collapsed on the ground. And Musa ran out past those two guys. Then he ran outside the door past two other guys into the night. He heard those guys coming out of the house. And they said to the two guys outside, "Where is Musa?" And they said, "Musa never came out of the house." Somehow they didn't see him right when he ran past them. And as he ran off into the night, now because of the gunshots and the screaming, the people were coming out of their houses. Those guys took off. Musa ran to a neighbor's house. He jumped over the fence. He started banging on the door. The wife answered. She saw Musa missing an arm, blood everywhere. She fainted right onto the ground. They called Musa's brother. They took him to the chief. Musa was able to find out that his family was okay. Then they put him in a car to take him to the hospital, an hour and a half drive to the nearest hospital. As they were driving, Musa told them, "I have the super strength of Jesus, and I feel no pain." When they got to the hospital, and don't judge the Nigerians, but this is how it works. If you don't have money, you don't get treated. That's just the way that it is, unfortunately. It's the way it is in the whole country. And so Musa got there, but he had no money, so they wouldn't treat him. But people would come up to Musa. He was there for 14 hours. People would come up to him. The doctors would come up to him. The nurses would come up to him. The other patients would come up to him and say, "How are you alive?" And he said, "I had the super strength of Jesus. And I feel no pain. And I forgive the people that did this to me." And I can tell you, in Islam, there's not that kind of love. There's not that kind of forgiveness. And the people there didn't know what to do with this message. You forgive them. After 16 hours, finally, Musa's relatives came, and they brought money, and the doctors started to take over. And once the doctors took over, the super strength of Jesus left him, and he felt pain for the first time. And you know, it's amazing. God does what only he can do, and he uses people. Isn't that amazing that God would choose to do that? He uses people. And he wants to use us to reach those around us. That's his plan. And so when the people started to take over, finally, he felt pain. The super strength had left him. I'm going to show you the next slide. It's kind of gross. But that is actually his arm and his thumb. And they tried to sew them back on. Of course, the medical technology in Nigeria is not great. Plus, they had waited 16 hours. And so it didn't work. And so Musa lost those, unfortunately. We'll go to the next slide. Musa was there for 3 weeks in the hospital recovering. And then he went back to his village. And you know, communication in the north is not very good. And so when he arrived in the village, a lot of people thought Musa was dead. And so as he arrived, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And they were like, "Musa, how could you possibly have survived that attack?" And he said, "Because I had the super strength of Jesus, and I felt no pain, and I forgive those that have done this to me." And especially the forgiveness part, they couldn't understand that. And so after some days, six guys came privately to Musa and they said, Musa, tell us about this Jesus. And he led them to the Lord. And then some time after that, more adults were coming. And they said, tell us about this Jesus. And he was leading them to the Lord. And then something amazing happened. People started coming to Musa and they would bring their children and they would say, Musa, we want to give our children to you so they can become Christians. The next slide is, this is a slide of Musa, and that's little David. And you see that little medal around his neck? We brought David down to Hillcrest School, about 300 people. We had a ceremony for him, giving him the Medal of Valor for bravery in the face of danger and being willing to stand for Jesus and his Father. He's so proud of that little medal. He wears that medal everywhere, like every day. So next slide. So these are the little children. And what we, you know, decided with our outreach guys and Musa is we can't be taking all these children. So we hired three teachers and started reaching them there in their village. To date, the people have brought to Musa more than 100 of their children to be Christians. To date, next slide, more than 100 adults in that village now have come to know Jesus. And the chief has come to know Jesus. And he said to Musa, Musa, I'm sorry. And he offered Musa his job back. And Musa wanted to do something, and so our outreach guys went with him to the prison where they're holding the four guys that tried to kill him. And Musa went in, and he was sharing with the four guys, and he said, you meant to kill me, but I forgive you. And there's one named Jesus that's forgiven me. And Musa led those four guys to the Lord. And the Muslim warden doesn't know what to do with this, and the guards don't know what to do with this, and the other prisoners don't know what to do with this forgiveness. And the warden has now asked us to come back and to start a prison ministry there. And I want to tell you the most amazing thing happened just before I came to Connecticut. That chief called for our outreach guys to come. They didn't know why. And they went up and they came into the room where the chief was, and there in the room were seven other Muslim chiefs that wanted to know about Jesus. The Lord is powerful. The Lord is amazing. And the Lord has chosen to reach those people. And you know, I want to tell you this. Musa's a regular guy. And so am I. But as Musa was willing to stand for the Lord and to take some little steps of faith, God is now working in that. And that's what God wants from us. Spend time with him. Be led by him. Take little steps of faith. Invite people to come to church at Easter. Maybe give them a tract. Maybe let people know that you're praying for them. Watch and see what this awesome, powerful God can do. Thank you so much for everything. God bless you.
Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Peters, people who come to faith and then live into that faith and make a difference. Whether it's here or whether it's in Nigeria or Southeast Asia or Central or South America or wherever, we just pray for the Peters and Johns and Bethanys of the world who have found you, been restored and been given a purpose. We now specifically pray for this Peter and his family. We pray that you continue to bless the ministry. We pray for those indigenous outreach teams that are going to the north, which in itself is a dangerous place. Not only would you protect them, but would you give them the super strength of Jesus to share your name, Jesus, in ways that they can do. And you can do to bring hundreds and hundreds of tribes to Christ. Pray blessing on Peter as he's here encouraging the church. We pray blessing on Peter as he needs to continually raise money for the ministry he oversees. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, that same power that enabled Musa to say, I will not deny Jesus, to fill every aspect of the ministry and every aspect of all of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.